Okay, I'm Johnny Vedmore. I'm an investigative journalist. I like looking into ancestry quite a lot. You don't really know a person by who they present themselves to be nowadays. You're more likely to find out from their history, their background, who brought them up and who brought that person up, etc. In many cases, you find reoccurring manifestation of behavior within genetics in general. So you see that people do the same thing, take the same roads. When I see how people who worship darkness, how they rise to power, it's extremely suspect. And also, when you get into things like that, and when you get into research and evil people, you can feel it, man. You can feel that there's something else there, that this can't be normal. If you've got a history which involves nefarious circles, you do want to hide it. And so that's not going to be presentable to the modern man.
Well, let's begin. Mr. Klaus Schwab.
Well, Klaus Schwab, a hard one to find. So before the World Economic Forum was created in 1971, Klaus Schwab's history was basically unknown. Some people thought he was a construct, that he was just a made-up persona. Some people didn't even think he exists.
Good morning.
It was very, very difficult to find even a mention of Klaus Schwab. I would say pre-1968, that's where he started to really come into his own, is in 1968, about 3 years before the creation of the World Economic Forum, which was originally the European Management Symposium. These sort of people, these big players, they don't let their childhood be known. Because their childhood comes from, usually contains dark secrets. You usually find that they're connected with people who have not necessarily been good for the world. Klaus Schwab was born in 1938. So obviously those are fundamentally historic years in Western history. We're approaching World War II. Lots of people wanted to believe he was Hitler Youth or something, and he was born, but by the end of the World War, he would have been 6 years old, so his father would have been the person he looked up to, and he did. He followed everything his father said. Now, his father was the head of a Nazi model company. Eugen Schwab was the managing director of the Ravensburg branch. Escher Weiss itself was making U-boat submarine parts, flamethrowers for the Germans during the time, atomic bombs and etc., and bits for fighter planes. So every single part of the war machine had a little bit of Escher Weiss in it. His father worked for the Nazis, creating heavy water, and heavy water was used in the enrichment of uranium. So it was a natural way of enriching uranium. Was Eugen Schwab part of the Nazis who were standing outside the Ravensburg town hall in 1938, where a picture was taken, that still causes controversy in that part of Germany when you mention it, because people hate seeing that all of the Nazis were so proud and happy. Ravensburg was such a big Nazi town. Ravensburg wasn't targeted all through the war. What you saw is a lot of rich German people who had helped within the race to eugenically modify the world. Including 691 patients in Ravensburg who were euthanized during the war. 691 who were euthanized. That's a lot of people who were euthanized in Ravensburg. Now, Klaus Schwab, through the 60s, was a young man who was in university, getting degree after degree after degree. And by 1966, 1967, his father told him, if you want to be a success, you've got to go to Harvard. And at this point is where he was taught by Henry Kissinger.
I have met practically every leader in the last 40 years. And there were only three or four leaders who really made a lasting impression on me and to a certain extent, changed my thinking. And one of those was Mandela. Another one was my teacher at Harvard 50 years ago, Professor Henry Kissinger.
He had a massive impact on Schwab's overarching ideology in the future. And that was partially because Kissinger was mixed up within a lot of groups, including very much the Rockefellers.
And you mentioned, David, Henry Kissinger.
Actually, I guess I was the first one who got to know him because he was a member of an organization called the Council on Foreign Relations in New York.
Now, Henry Kissinger himself, of course, the point man for the Club of Rome and for the ideology of population reduction. The Club of Rome was set up in 1968 by Aurelio Pecci, who was an Italian industrialist, and Alexander King, who was a Scottish chemist.
The Club of Rome comprises some 70 men of widely varying backgrounds, but their common concern is that the world problems cannot be solved by individual nations. I spoke with Dr. Aurelio Pecci, founder of the club, and Dr. Alexander King, director of the World Bank and the United Nations OECD.
They really concentrated on population control, on bringing down the population. They had Malthusian ideas.
It's not some science fantasy effect from 2001. This electronic display emanating from Australia's largest computer is a picture of the condition, past, present and future of planet Earth. It was developed under the auspices of the Club of Rome by an MIT research team to present a complex model of the world and what we humans are doing to it. What it does for the first time in man's history on the planet is to look at the world as one system. It shows that Earth cannot sustain present population and industrial growth for much more than a few decades. It shows that simply cleaning up our car exhausts and making some small effort to limit our families simply isn't enough. The condition of the planet starts to become highly critical, and if we don't do anything about it, this is what's going to happen. The quality of life is going to go right back to practically zero. Pollution is going to become so serious, right out here, that it will start to kill people. So the population will diminish. Right back here, less than it was in the year 1900. And at this stage, round about the year 2040, 2050, civilized life as we know it on this planet will cease to exist.
So this Malthusian idea would go along with the introduction of the World Economic Forum.
The world has become so interdependent that entrepreneurs everywhere in the world depend each on another.
I think he's very much the top front man of the ideology of the Rockefellers, Club of Rome, Henry Kissinger. They needed someone in Europe who had experience with trying to bring people together, bring companies together. Klaus Schwab would say, you know, we have to really, really harness that human capital. And it's very much a sign that they were on the same wavelength as all of the people who were taught them, all the people who brought them up, and the Club of Rome and the people who were saying that we need population control if we're going to have success in the future. I think they saw him, Klaus Schwab, as the perfect person to take on their cause and rebrand their cause as something which was environmental rather than population control.
We have continuous partnerships with many governments around the world. And of course, we have NGOs, we have trade unions, we have all those different parts.
Media, of course,
and very important experts and scientists and academia. Because if we are looking at the future, I think we should look at new solutions, and the new solutions will be very much driven by technological development.
Eugenics is a hard thing to spin after World War II. The Malthusian idea of needing a disaster to create their agenda is really important. Create disasters, or we can create, even if they're not real, we can create them to make sure that our agenda is pushed forward.